me just mention several things before I begin. It's a joy to see Doug and Dawn here today. We know they've had an awfully long journey, so just happy to have you here today. May the Lord give you grace and strength. And I was also asked to remind you about the simulcast. It's on March the 21st. That's why we're mentioning it today again on a Saturday. It's at Westmount Bible Chapel, but it's actually sponsored by Biblical Eldership Resources, a ministry that Chuck Giannotti is involved with. And it's on that Saturday of the 21st at 9 a.m. and it goes through into the afternoon. And it deals with the subject of teaching, communicating God's truth, becoming effective in your teaching. And if the Lord lays that burden on your heart, we would ask. There's info on the bulletin board. You can call them. We need just to let them know that we're coming, because if they're providing food, they need to know who's going to be there. So just out of courtesy, we need to be mindful of that. Also, we want to continue to pray that Lois will get some relief this week and all the pain she's suffering. And all the other things, we think of Mike, Dan's brother, and so many needs. So let's just ask God to bless our time and help us. Father, we do want to lift to you each one that we've mentioned this morning who either is suffering or having significant issues go on in their life. We just pray that you would help. We pray for Lois that you'll bless, help, just give some relief to all the pain she's been suffering. We thank you so much that Doug and Dawn are here. We just pray your blessing upon them. We know their journey has been a real rugged one, and so we pray for special grace and encouragement. We just thank you they can be here. Give them good health and strength. And Father, we think of Mike, Dan's brother. We just pray for him spiritually, and we also pray for him physically. This heart situation, we just pray that he will be drawn to you and he will be protected by you. And Father, we thank you for David and his willingness to go on these trips. We pray that you would protect and bless the team and him in particular. Pray for Diane and the children, that you would really bless her and give her grace and strength in working with their little ones. Just help, Father, at this time when David is gone. And Father, we just think of each one that we've already mentioned. And again, we entrust them to you, your perfect care. You're a wonderful God. Help us remember and look to you, stay focused on you, and walk with you. Bless us right now. May your word be handled as you want it to be handled. May we learn what you want us to learn. May we grow through our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. My dad used to do harvesting. He what they used to call custom cutting, and he'd harvest his own wheat, but he would also travel some. I remember several summers he traveled. He would go down. I don't know if he ever went as far as Texas, but he'd go into Oklahoma, and then they would cut wheat and then move up into Kansas, and then sometimes they would go up into Nebraska as the season would change and as the crops would mature. And I remember one year, Dad hired two individuals. I think he probably hired them in Oklahoma or somewhere. But anyway, they were not from our part of the country, but Dad had hired them, and they were somewhat unique individuals. And I remember the story Mom told. When they were cutting wheat around our home, they were sitting there at the table having a meal, and these two men were talking with each other, and one of them said, you know, he was talking about a certain game. I don't know if it was a card game or some kind of game. He said, I hate that game. And anyway, the other one said, what, you hate that game? When we were back home, you used to go up to our neighbors once a week, and you did this for over 10 years. You went up and they played that game every night. What were you doing? And the guy said to his friend, he says, I kept thinking they had changed the game. I think he needed a new approach, right? I wonder how many times we keep doing the same thing, keep doing the same thing, keep doing the same thing, and it's not working. We need a new approach. Peter wants to encourage us. He wants to challenge us. And he wants to make sure we have a new approach. I'm going to go back to 1 Peter and back to chapter 1 of this very, very significant book. And we come to a little bridge, as one puts it, in verse 13 of chapter 1, 1 Peter. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'll stop there for just a moment. Notice that little word, therefore. That's our bridge. He's been talking about this awesome salvation. And if you were with us and you thought about the earlier part of this wonderful chapter, he talks about this living hope. We have a hope. We have a hope. The believer who knows the Lord Jesus, put their faith in the Lord Jesus, confidently trust in the Lord Jesus. If you can sing that song that we just sang, Hallelujah, What a Savior. If you can say that because you know He's your Savior. He died for you. He rose from the dead. He's your Savior. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's what that means. Praise the Lord. He's my Savior. If you know Him as your Savior, you also have from Him a salvation. Now, you have salvation immediately, forgiveness of sins. But there are other facets of that salvation. And the final facet is what Peter primarily looks at. That facet when we are totally with the Lord, we are totally glorified, we're totally apart from sin, we're totally in a new zone, and we will have absolute satisfaction for all eternity. There's something coming that's absolutely amazing. And he talks about this salvation and this amazing hope that we have to look forward to, all because we have new life. If you have new life, you have new hope, and there should be a new approach. You see, there should be something different about the believer. A perspective, a mindset that is different. Now, I know some of you probably have had, you know, one of those jobs, and you just hated it. You just hated it, right? Maybe the boss was always on your case. No matter what you did, it was never right, you know? Maybe your coworkers, maybe they didn't like you either, right? And maybe you didn't pay very much. Whatever it was, this was a lousy job. But let's just say, in dreamland, let's say you had an uncle, you didn't even know he existed, and he passed away, and he left you this hunk of change. I mean, you got this amazing inheritance. Are you going to stay at that lousy job? Are you going to stay? Are you going to keep on keeping on doing the same stuff you were doing? Well, I would imagine if you get this huge hunk of money, you know, you now are wealthy, you're going to change. You're going to make a change. You're going to go up to the boss and say, I'm out of here. Now, hopefully you say it in a nice way. But I'm out of here, right? I don't need this anymore. I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm out of here. Now, after we come to Christ, there is some stuff we should be out of. This is not going to be same old, same old. We need a new mindset. And that's what he challenges us on here. Therefore, because of what we have now and what we have to look forward to, he says to us, therefore, verse 13, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds. Now, if you're reading from the King James or the New King James, it translates it actually more consistent with the culture back then because it uses the term, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, you can understand why the newer translations say prepare your minds. Like, gird up. What are we doing here? Gird up. Well, in that day, as you know, you've seen a movie or, you know, in the Bible times, you know, these guys were going around in these long robes, right? It was very, very practical. Aren't you glad for blue jeans? But anyway, they're going around these long robes. And so they're kind of dangling, flopping around. Well, if you had something really important to do, I mean, you had something, you know, you had to get down to business. You had to really, you know, you had to carry a load or, you know, build something in with wood or do something. You, what are you going to do with all this flowing stuff? Well, what they would do, because it's long rope, they'd pick it up and there was a belt around the waist. They'd pick it up and kind of fold it and they'd tuck it in and then they could move. They could make progress. They weren't getting tangled up all the time with this long robe. Gird up your mind. Tie it up. Get your thoughts together. And that's why it says, prepare your minds for action. Pull your thoughts together. Have a disciplined mind, as one states. We live in a world, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. We live in a very confused world. With very conflicting ideas. And they all can't be right. In fact, some of them bring about absolute disaster, right? I mean, it doesn't take much insight to see that. I've said this before, but it amazes me. We're so conscious. Just think of all the laws in our province or across the country on what children should not eat. Right? Isn't it amazing? We got all the stuff available, but don't touch it. Don't touch it. You know, and at the school lunch program, you know, we're not going to have any of this, only apples and bananas, you know, and the kids are saying, oh man, I can't have another apple. Anyway, you know, we're so careful with what you eat. Now, I'm not against having good food and nutrition, so, you know, don't come up to me later and say, do you not believe in good? No, I believe in nutrition, I do. But, are we equally concerned with what our children are taught? What people are stuffing in their brains? You know, you go to cafeteria and you can't get anything that's got sugar with it. But man alive, you go to the classroom and think what they're taught. Think what we've done, just what we're doing right now as a province. With the sex education pushed down to a younger age. What is that going to do to our kids? What is it going to do to their minds? But how about ourselves? What thoughts control our thinking? Where does your kind of what's the you know, if your mind was a compass, where does the needle keep going back to? Those thoughts, those ideas. The world impacts our thoughts, and our thoughts impact our emotions, and our emotions impact our actions. We are not an innocent bystander. You can't just take in anything and think you're going to be okay. My wife's not upset with me. She actually has to go. Anyway. We could sing "Just As I Am," but anyway, we won't do that. I know I'll hear about this later. Okay. Swindoll says this. Our minds are major targets. When the world pulls back its bowstring, our minds are the bullseye. Any arrows we allow to become impaled in our minds will ultimately poison our thoughts. And if we tolerate them long enough, we'll end up acting out what we think. That's why the Bible says, finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Dwell on these things. I appreciate what one version, as they translate this passage, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Colossians says, set your mind on things above, right? Set your mind on things above. How can we prepare our minds for whatever is coming down the road? How can we prepare our thinking? We must allow God's thoughts to impact our mind. We must allow God's word to soak into our life. This verse was referred to earlier today. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. Let the word of Christ be absorbed into your mind. We often feel that we just don't have time for the Bible, right? I mean, aren't we all tempted that way? And that's confirmed. I mean, that's the majority opinion. I came across an article just last week. According to the Canadian Bible Engagement Study, and this was done in 2014, 55% of Canadians never read the Bible. So over half our population never read the Bible. 28% seldom read the Bible. Very little. 7% read it a few times a year. You know, I mean, I suppose if you're having a bad day, you know, And then, only 11% read it once a week or more. As one puts it, according to statistics, weekly Bible reading has plummeted. Now, how's that working out in our world? Everywhere we look, there's disappointment and often disaster. What is that going to do to our kids? If we cut out the biblical standards of our culture, which is obviously where we're going at high speed, we take out the principles of Scripture, where is there going to be any solid ground to stand on for our children and our grandchildren? The Word of God is so critical to form the way we think. But we have all of these thoughts around us. All we're bombarded by ideas and concepts, advertisements, lifestyles, all of these things. Now, I did bring something this morning. I knew you were hoping I brought something, right? Okay. Now I do need a little help on this. I don't know. Brian, would you mind? Or
Austin's over there.
Oh, I know. But he doesn't come sometimes when I use him. The next time he gets so embarrassed. He's so shy. Austin's so shy. You want to help me, Brian? Okay. Brian, he doesn't like me very much, but I'm working on it, okay? Now, I got to show you this. This, here, come over here, Brian. Okay. Let's just put this on. Okay. You're going to look so cool. Oh, man. Let's see. Now, I got to tell you the background of this. I really don't go around the house just looking weird for no reason. Anyway, this is my robe. But the reason it's my robe, well, I know I'm weird, I know that. But anyway, beyond that, is this is a side note. You talk about short-term missions. My oldest son, well, both the boys went on short-term mission trips. And our oldest son, Wayne, he went to South Korea and did construction there, David. And one time when he came back, he brought me this robe, right? And it's got birds on it. It kind of looks like a big red-headed woodpecker. And all these birds and everything. Okay, now, that to the side. Let's say Brian and I are going to go out and we're going to work. We could go into the... You want to go cut wood? We could go cut wood. Yeah, he never cooperates with me. I don't know. Let's say we're going to farm together. Hey, you want me to teach you about farming? Oh, man. Okay. So we're going to go out and we're going to farm together. Now, and Brian out here, we're going out farming together. Now, when you get... Brian, I just want to say, we're going to build some fence today. And when we unroll the barbed wire, stay back just a little bit, right? Barbed wire has a tendency of just loving and hugging you and wrapping you all up, right? You know? Now, just think about a job you got to do. Mow the lawn. That's coming. I saw grass this morning. I don't want to even talk about snow. But just think, jobs. This is going to be a great outfit for Brian, isn't it? Yeah, he's going to look so cool. The neighbors are going to be talking and everything, right? Now, Because he's got all this flap, all this extra stuff. So now, in the olden days, Brian, before you got ready to come over and mow my lawn, you have to tuck that in there like that. So you can move. You know, you don't get tangled, right? You don't get tangled. How many times in our world are all these thoughts flapping around? You know, we're taking this thought from that. We're taking this thought from that. Don't think about what the Bible, what the principles, what the standards about, and all this flapping around. And you know what? You just get tangled up. You get tangled up in life. And no wonder life becomes a mess, because we got all these thoughts coming from so many different directions and they don't fit. That looks really cute. You want to sit down with my robe? Yeah. Oh man, you hurt my heart, man. Okay, thanks, bro. Pray for him. He needs forgiveness. Okay, forgiveness. Okay. Now, I want to just tell you a little true story. I was thinking about this morning, but Marty's brother, when they were farming, and one thing they say when you're farming, don't ever wear a loose, floppy shirt. And he was farming one day, and what they were doing, they were putting grain from a truck into an auger, and they were taking it up to dump it in the granary. So an auger, you know, you seen one of those? You know, and he wasn't paying attention. Floppy old shirt, you know. And all of a sudden, that auger caught his shirt and pulled him right into that auger. Now, if it wouldn't have been for his brother, who was thinking very, very quick, he shut that power off just almost immediately. But even in that moment, Paul is his name, he was pulled into that auger, and he still has a scar today. If that thing wouldn't have been shut off fast enough, it would have probably taken his arm and maybe his life. Now, we are like that in this world. If we have all these thoughts and we don't gird up our minds, we are in grave danger. We got to think different. We have to have a different mindset. It's critical. And that's only going to come through the Word. Now, it continues to challenge us in this very area. Prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Keep sober. The idea, calm, steady state of mind that evaluates things correctly. We're talking about spiritual, mental sobriety. We are to not be intoxicated by the warped thinking of our world. Now, one years ago, when we were living in Dodge, in the middle of the night, about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, bam, 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 bam. Boy, that woke me up. You know, here we got two little kids, and man, and I hear this bam, you know, bam, bam, bam on my front door. Well, I went to the front door, and the first thing I did was not open it. I peeked out the window, right? Whoever's knocking on my door, I don't have a clue who they are. Bam, 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 bam. I'm thinking, we're not going to give the Avon welcome wagon thing here, right? So what do? I go, 911, right? Somebody knocking down my door. Get here fast. And so the police came. And it was actually a sad story. The guy was so drunk, he thought he was knocking on his door. And my door was not his door. But he didn't know where he was. He didn't have a clue. Now, how many times do we get caught up in wrong thinking, and it's just like we're staggering, not knowing what we're doing in life? We're making stupid choices because we're spiritually intoxicated on wrong ideas. May God help us be sober. Now, and this sets us up for this primary command in this little verse. Verse 13. This is the primary command. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Fix your hope. Imperative. Fix your hope. Fix your hope completely. Look. Remember the times you go on the eye doctor and
and he puts that little machine. He's got those goggle things. Look through, you know. And then he says, this is what he says. Look at the light, right? Look at the light. Keep your eye on the light. Look at the light. You haven't been to the eye doctor yet. You got to go. Okay. Anyway, look at the light. Keep your eye. Focus on the light. Focus on the light. And then he's looking at your eye, right? We're supposed to stay fixed, focused on our hope. How many times do we get so discouraged? And I know life is filled with things that bring discouragement. It absolutely is. You know what the Lord says to us? Keep your eye on the hope. Fix your eyes on the hope. Doesn't mean it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It is going to be hard at times. But keep your eyes on. Notice this. This is awesome. Fix your hope completely on the grace. Do you see that? On the grace. Man, there's something good to look at here. Fix your hope completely, entirely, stay focused on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what? We're talking about the same theme he's talked about before. Our inheritance, our future inheritance. As a believer, a person who knows the Lord Jesus, we got this awesome grace-filled inheritance that's ours. It's waiting there. It's amazing. We can't comprehend it. We don't know exactly all that's involved in it. But we know something great's coming. And it's called the salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Keep your focus on the grace. This awesome gift that's going to be ours, it's going to be ours in fullness when Christ returns. It will never shatter, it will never shrink, and it will be totally satisfying. Won't it be amazing when we're in heaven never to be dissatisfied, never to say, oh, I wish I had one of those, you know? We'll be totally satisfied. It'll be so amazing. Our surroundings and our internal person, everything will be at peace and calm. Part of sound and sober thinking comes by staying focused on our future. Now, obviously it doesn't mean we don't pay attention to day-to-day stuff. But we don't forget the great things that God has for us. It's especially needed when we're suffering. And these believers were suffering. They knew what it was like to be on the run. Think of those poor people in Iraq. On the run. Their homes demolished. Some family members killed, and they're on the run. In the midst of being on the run, if we know ultimately we have a hope, a living hope that will be eternally satisfied. It keeps us going. It keeps us in the race. Yes, life can be hard, but we keep our eye on the goal. Someone was telling me, they had, I think it was two relatives, and it was one of those days when I hate to mention it, but the snow was really big, right? And they were driving down this little road, but they were enamored with all the beauty, right? And so they were looking around at all the beautiful things, and they ended up in a snow bank. How many times have you ended up in some kind of a bank, some kind of snow bank, some kind of a situation because you didn't keep your eye on the road? And God says, don't drive off the road in your spiritual life. Keep your eye on the goal, on the grace. Remember, you got something awesome coming. Yesterday can be terrible. Yesterday, we may have some serious, serious illness. There may be a critical situation in our family. Finances may be absolutely a disaster, but there's something great coming. And God says, keep your eye on the grace. Stay focused. That's part of having a mind that's disciplined. And you think thoughts. And if we're thinking right, we know we got something great coming. We have to have the right mindset. But we have to work at the right mindset. But we also need the right lifestyle. A new lifestyle. Notice what it says in verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. As obedient children. Now, we know before a person comes to Christ,
Remember what this, you've probably heard this passage a number of times. Let me just read it to you again. Ephesians 2. It says this about before a person comes to Christ. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's a terrible place to be. Are you there? Now, dead, obviously dead in trespasses. The idea that you're separated from God, the source of life. So you're dead. Not physically, not at this point. But if you stay dead spiritually, you will stay separated from God forever. But once we come to faith in Christ, we're broken free from that. We don't want to stay stuck. Don't stay in death. Don't stay in death. Trust Christ for life. And when we receive new life, we receive new ability. We're no longer referred to as sons of disobedience. We now become sons of obedience. We now have potential to obey the Lord. There's a new capacity. Not that we always live it out, but there's a new capacity. And this should be very, very encouraging to us. Notice what it says. This is a danger for us, though. We have a new capacity, but we don't always live by that capacity. It says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust. Now, you know where that word is also used. The only other place in the New Testament the word conformed is used in Romans 12, 2, where it says, and do not be conformed to this world. Well, the world and our lust, they all work hand in hand trying to bring us down. And so, you know what? It's easy. You can come to faith in Christ. And I hope you've trusted the Lord Jesus. He's your personal Savior. But you've come to faith in Christ, and then you get sloppy. You get sloppy in your thinking. You get sloppy in your time with the Lord. You get sloppy in your fellowship with the saints. You just get sloppy in your spiritual life. And it's easy to begin to slide, to be conformed back, and to even go back to where we were before. I remember years ago, Marty and I went with a friend of hers to Colorado, and there was this, she took us to see this unique mountain. I've never seen any mountain like this. But it was like it was a huge mountain made of gravel. And, if you have a real mountain, you got rocks and stuff and you can climb. But this is like a gravel mountain. And what it was amazing to me, so profoundly crazy about this mountain, is that you could take a few steps up, and then you just begin to slide down. Because all it was gravel. It's like, you couldn't make progress up this mountain. You couldn't get to the top. Well, a lot of Christians are like that. They're on this gravel mountain. And they get started, they get excited. I'm going to live. I'm saved. I'm going to go. And they go up a few steps, and they get sloppy, and they begin to slide. Can't get to the top. God wants us not to be conformed, not to go back. We all have a flesh. We still have a flesh. We still have capacity within us to do evil things. Don't be surprised. You have something goes through your brain and think, whoa, where'd that come from? From your flesh. We all have capacity to do evil things, even as Christians. We get sloppy, that's where we'll go. We all have temptations. We all have built-in things that we're drawn to that. And God says, don't go back. Don't go back. Don't be conformed. Don't be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. And that's talking, it's not talking about people that aren't smart. Some of the smartest people in the world are atheists. It's talking about spiritual insight. People who don't see spiritual reality. Don't go back to spiritual idiocy. What are you drawn to? May God help us be smart enough to stay on track. Think of a good friend of mine. He's now with the Lord. We just love this guy. He and his wife, just the sweetest couple. He got saved later in life. But man alive, before he was saved, he was a hard alcoholic. I mean, he told me one time, he said, I'd never get a job where I'm in a building because I've got to get to a bottle. He was a hard living dude, and he had his two outstanding characteristics, alcohol and anger.
You did not want to meet him in a bar. He probably shouldn't be in the bar anyway, but you don't want to meet him. He'd take you out and be happy to do it. Don't look at him funny. You'll be on the floor. Well, when God saved him, he transformed him. It was a beautiful transformation. He went from a mean man to a gentle child. But you know, I remember years later, his wife, we were talking to her on the phone, and said, oh man, he was struggling. This was after we had moved, that we had known them years back, and we had lived a long ways away from them. And she said to Marty, she said, oh, he's been struggling. He's been struggling, drawn back into the alcohol, drawn. That was his temptation, going back. He was sliding. But by God's grace and through his wisdom, you know, through making good choices, he didn't slide back. He was not conformed back to the lust of the flesh. And it may not be alcohol, it may not be anger, but we can all slide back. May God protect us. May we be wise enough not to make that U-turn. Notice, verse 15. But, okay, this is a contrast. This is the positive side. That's the negative side, the positive side. But like the Holy One who called you. The Holy One who called you. Who's the Holy One? Well, God. He's the one. Holy. He's the set apart one, which is in a simple sense what holiness means. Set apart. Notice, I just want, just look at this. I'm going to go to 1 John chapter 1 for just a moment. 1 John chapter 1. Now read these words. This, verse 5, 1 John 1, 5. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. God is light. That's another way of saying God is holy. God is set apart. There's no smudge on God. There's no shadow. There's not a phase of darkness on God. He is light. He is perfect holiness. He is set apart from sin in every respect. That is his character. That is his person. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. You know, if we really sensed his holiness, I wonder how many times we would just be on our knees before him in his awesome presence. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And notice, God is holy. He calls us into a relationship with him. And in that relationship, we are to be like our Father. We are to be like the one who has saved us. We are to set ourselves apart. Notice what it says. Back in our 1 Peter, be holy yourselves. Well, it's one thing to say God's holy, but what about this thing, be holy yourselves? That kind of is a little application for us. He's holy. We're to be holy. We're to be set apart. We're to have a different lifestyle. I want to read this passage again. I'm in the 1 John passage. I just want to read a few verses. This is the message, verse 5. We have heard from him, God announced to you that God is light, and in him there's no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him, we're close to him, we stand tight with him, and yet walk in darkness, walk in sin, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his Son cleanses us from all sin. We are called to walk in relationship, in fellowship, in contact, in enjoyment with the Lord. He is holy. We won't be perfect, but we're to set apart ourselves more and more by the Word of God so we can walk hand in hand with him. You know, if you raise kids or have grandkids or something, and let's say they've been out in the mud, and you've been in the house because grandma was out in the mud with them. You know, you've been in your nice, clean, pristine, you know, in your office. You know, Dan's going to suffer from this. He already has. Anyway, what happened to that kid? You know, I don't even know that kid. I think you're lost in the neighborhood, buddy. You know, he comes in, he wants to give you a hug. I don't want a hug. Right? This is the way we are with God sometimes. God says, I'm holy. And we say, well, God, I want a hug. And I've been living in the dirt. We don't connect. We can't. God loves us, but he can't have close fellowship with us. Be holy. Be set apart. Have a new lifestyle.
We have to confess our sins. You know, it goes on down if we confess our sins. You know, sometimes, and also sometimes we're awful slow to admit our sin. Verse 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. Several of us are doing this marriage thing and marriage course and talking about the blame game, right? Now, we could have some good illustrations here. Would somebody raise their hand, right? It's not my fault. I didn't do anything wrong. It's that woman, right? I can say that because she's gone, right? Okay. We're going to blame them, right? We're not going to face up. And sometimes that's the way we play with God. I didn't do anything wrong. It's not my fault, God. If we want to walk hand in hand with Him, we have to be honest with ourselves. There's sin. We all mess up. We all got mud on our boots. And God says, confess your sins. And He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. That's a daily walk. Clean up those boots, buddy. And God in His grace, as we confess it, He forgives it, and we can come back in line with Him and walk tight with Him. God loves us. But He wants us to walk tight and close to Him. Now, how are we going to do that? Notice we're supposed to do it in every facet of our behavior. Let me just go back to this passage in the 15. Be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Boy, that's a popular concept, right? I remember when the boys were playing hockey. You get laughed out of the locker room. Look at this picture! Who are you, a wimp? And we go through life, and we go through work, and we go through our family, we go through all these things. And the world mocks the Christian, right? You got to be kidding. Holy roller, right? Well, why should we be holy? Notice what our passage says. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. I am holy. God is set apart. If we want to walk tight with Him, we first have to come to Him for salvation and then stay close to Him as we walk through the journey. And the journey is hard, and there's lots of temptations. I got to struggle with in my own heart, and the world's pressing in. And so, a new lifestyle, because I'm walking with a new person. I'm walking with a God who's set apart. I want to have a life that's set apart. How am I going to do that? Well, it takes us back to a new mindset. We've got to be in the Word. We've got to be in the Word. And God in His grace has provided what we need, but we've got to know what He's provided. Now, I wanted to bring this. I was working, of course, this is my grandson part, right? We have the instructions. I want to show you what these instructions are for. Okay. We were doing this the other night. Oh, man. These puzzle pieces, right? This is kid stuff, right? Just kid stuff, right? Oh, man. And with this, you can build a car. You can build an airplane. You can even build a backhoe. And I was looking at this one, Castle Tower. Oh, man, that'll be easy to build a castle tower. I don't need those instructions. And I started looking. Castle tower. How many holes that thing have? Looking at that. I'm looking. I thought this was for kids. It's not for grandpas. You got to follow the instructions. How many of us in life are trying to get our act together, and we're not following the instructions. And all we have are a bunch of pieces, and we're trying to put our family, we're trying to put our work, we're trying to put church, well, maybe church, and then, you know, put all this over here, you know, and oh man, I got something, ooh, I don't know what I got. I don't know what to do with these pieces. Because I haven't followed the instructions. You see, God calls us to a new approach, but it requires a new mindset in order to have a new lifestyle. And that takes us back to the Word. You know, we need to be committed to get close to God by getting into His Word. Everett and I were talking, we're going to have a new addition to our website on where the Bible is read to us. You know, if you find, man, I forgot how to read, you can listen to it, right? Or the rest of us, you know, we say, well, when am I, when? Now, just think about it. When tomorrow can you carve out some time to listen to what God has to say through His Word? You might say, where should I go? Well, what's your greatest need right now? You know, we talked on Wednesday night. Somebody mentioned this earlier. Changes to His image. Went over 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. You know what? God has, none of us got it all together. None of us know it all. We need to be taught. And this is the part we hate. We need to be reproved. Sometimes you're going to open the book and say, man, I feel worse than I started. Because God's trying to get your attention. And then He wants to change us. He wants to grow us up. He wants to correct us. He shows us, you know, when you get off the path, He shows us how to get back on the path. And then He instructs us how to grow up. Instruction in righteousness. Through the Word, through the Word, through the Word. By God's grace, we need to be in the Word. And I know, how many hundreds of times have you heard that? But in our culture, it's not working. But you know what? This is a picture of our culture. And this may be a picture of your life. All the pieces, all the puzzle pieces of your life are not fitting. You've got to go back to the instructions so that we will have a new mindset and a new lifestyle so that we will live with a whole new approach. Isn't that what you really want? Isn't that what we really want? Let's ask God to help us. God, we're here. We all admit. A lot of times we're not walking tight with You. We're not listening to You. We're not in Your Word. We're just too busy with stuff that really doesn't make a lot of difference. God, we confess that. But Father, we also ask that You will, by Your grace, awaken us and empower us to get in Your Word so that we'll begin to think Your thoughts after You. Give us the mindset You want us to have. And then may we have a new lifestyle. God, change us. God, change us. Father, we pray for this. We pray for this. We need this. By Your grace, for Your glory, help us grow through Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.